This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. What does it mean to work all your life at hard physical labor? Reg Theriault gives his answers to that question in his new book, How to Tell When You're Tired. He spent over 30 years as a longshoreman on the San Francisco waterfront. He was also the vice president of his union's local. He grew up in a family of migrant farm workers, fruit tramps, as they called themselves. At his mother's urging, he graduated high school and went on to college, but he dropped out. He says he didn't think he'd get the teaching job he wanted, and he missed the camaraderie of the fields. So he returned to fruit tramping. After his children were born in the late 50s, he found work on the waterfront. He says he worked hard as a longshoreman, but he liked the life.
When I started, we worked in gangs, so you worked with other people with whom you got along and other people who help you and you help them. It has a kind of camaraderie, and it has a lot of drudgery. But when you get through, you walk off the ship and see it sail. I don't know. You need to go back to the hiring hall the next day and get another job, and it's a different ship entirely. You start all over again. Usually you work with the same guys. If you don't like it, you find some other guys you work with. The bosses, as long as you do your work, they leave you alone. Or they better leave you alone. And it has a long, honorable tradition. I've never felt that I wasn't the equal of anyone else. And they're in San Francisco anyway, there are no circles to which I've been denied entry.
What was a typical day for you like in the early years when you were working on the waterfront?
We had to be at the hiring hall to get our job at 6:30 in the morning, so that meant that you got up and, you know, 5:30. Got your job in the hiring hall, and then you got a ticket to report to a peer. And it could be either anywhere in the Bay Area. San Francisco Bay Area longshoremen work all over the Bay Area. There's only one group of longshoremen in the Bay Area, and that's us. And then you report to the pier, see guys you know, have a cup of coffee, find out what cargo you got, and curse your luck if it's barbed wire. Or in those old days, we used to do everything by hand. Coffee, 154-pound sacks, and go to work, pitch in. And you worked hard. Frequently, we would have cargo or the breaks in the day where it only took, if we had 8 men on a loading gang, we may only use 4 or 6. So the others 4 would work very hard, and you'd go sit down. And when they got tired, well, you'd get up and hit it heavy, and they'd sit down.
What's the best way to carry a 154-pound sack of coffee?
Well, you don't carry it, and you don't lift it alone. You have a man on the other end of the sack, so you pitch it. In those days, we sent it out on rope slings, and it was considerably easier than later when we had to load them on pallet boards inside the vessel down in the hold. That was really, I would say, of all the jobs I've ever had, that was the hardest job.
Why?
Palletizing coffee in the hold of a vessel.
What was especially hard about that?
You had to sort the coffee and find the sacks, wherever they were, and drag them back to the board. And then they also didn't just stop at 12. We used to put as many as 18 or 24 sacks on the board. You had to throw them up over your head sometimes. You actually did. And it went on, and there were no breaks. No breaks, no, unless the gear broke down, you never got a break on palletized coffee.
But you got breaks on other jobs?
Well, we always had a break midday. I mean, we had in our contract, we got a 15-minute break in the middle of the morning, middle of the afternoon. But the other jobs, we used to make our breaks. We would just bust our butt and then sit down. We'd work it with each other. It was actually more fun and easier to work hard at something you're doing and take breaks. We felt so, and longshoremen all over the world work this way. I know, I've talked to a lot of seamen. And that was our mode of working, you know. And I, frankly, enjoyed the hard work, even sometimes as fun. You physically, if it's not destructive, meaning you're not tearing up your back, hard work's okay.
So what changed that rhythm of working really hard and then taking a break? Was it the union that negotiated a 15-hour break?
A 15-minute break, yes.
I'm sorry, did I say 15-hour?
Yeah.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, yes. Yes, and automation came along, and the union negotiated. The companies were adamant. They didn't want to have 8 men in a gang working in a hold if all you were doing were landing vans. And we lost men, and we lost more men. Finally, it got to the point where you were down to, sometimes we theoretically never had fewer than 4 men, but you may be scattered all over the vessel. And then they did away with gangs, and you ended up working on whatever isolated job you might have. I think automation cut in more than anything. When I first went to work on the waterfront in 1959, the San Francisco Bay Area used 5,000 longshoremen. Right now, there's about 800 working. So it cut. And their tonnage has gone up, I think, 600% since then. So there are one-fifth as many men and women now. We have women longshoremen. Some of them are very good. And I say one-fifth, one-sixth as many longshoremen doing 6 times the work.
My guest is former longshoreman Reg Theriault, author of How to Tell When You're Tired, A Brief Examination of Work. We'll be back after a short break. This is Fresh Air. Back with former longshoreman Reg Theriault. When you were working on the waterfront, did you have a lot of back trouble? Shoulder strain?
Yes, I think every longshoreman. I'm retired now on disability. I was injured tying up a vessel.
What happened?
Well, I was tying up a large container ship. And the way it's done is they feed they don't even use rope. They use wire cable. And they feed it off of the ship. And we have what we call a messenger, which is a light manila line. And then you pull on the messenger until you get the wire. And the wire has a loop around it, and we put it over a bollard on dock. Well, the wire is so heavy that we had to tow it with a forklift truck. And the forklift driver was towing it up out of the water, and then through the two horns, these great big bollards have horns that you put the loop of wire around. He went through the bollard, and then for some reason or other, the vessel, the dryer winch driver on the playing out the wire on the vessel stopped and then backed it up, and it tightened that wire just like I said violin string, but it's a little over an inch wire. And as it became tight, it jumped the bollard. And I had just reached for the loop, and the wire caught me across the hips, picked me up, and threw me back about 10 feet. And that ended my longshore career.
Now, what was your reaction when you're hurt? I mean, did you know what was happening to you? And were you expecting at some point that something like this was going to be inevitable?
No, you don't expect to be hurt. And when it does, it comes as a surprise. I discovered that I'd been hurt only 15 times on the waterfront. 15 times requiring medical attention. Mm-hmm. There were some longshoremen that had 60 or 70 injuries over their life, their career.
That's a lot of injuries.
I know it is. That there are other occupations equally as dangerous. Mining has always had, I think, a higher accident rate than longshoring. You don't. I picked myself up, discovered I could stand and that I could walk. I didn't know. I knew I was hurt. I didn't know how bad. I found out later that I did had chipped a bone in my hip, and finally it was grinding bone on bone, so they had to replace my hip.
And that's why you couldn't go back to work.
Well, I also had my left knee restructured, and I had 4 herniated discs in my lower back. So they all compounded to feed off each other, and I just simply couldn't know.
Were those previous injuries or part of the same problem?
Yeah, part of it. But all of them are longshore connected.
But those were from previous accidents?
Yes. I went back to work tying up ships, and I couldn't do it. And the guys were trying to carry me. And they can't do it because sometimes it is very hard. Sometimes the vessels use nylon, 6-inch in diameter. And they're heavier nails, so you need everybody. You can't carry a guy. And I didn't want to. And so I took disability retirement.
How did container ships change the nature of your work? And you should explain what they are, too.
Well, where before we broke down the cargo in the hold, stacked it up in tiers, the containers were loaded either off the dock or on the dock, and the entire container was loaded aboard the ship. For instance, right now, you can vessels are loaded in wherever around the world with a crane driver, a hatch tender, 5 tractor drivers, and a clerk. What does that come to? About 8 or 9 people. And they'll do more work in 8 hours than 8 gangs would previously. So it changed the work. The automation did away with an awful lot of longshore work. Those vans are loaded just like ships used to be, somewhere off in the middle of wherever they are, you know, or they're discharged. What it changed, what it meant to us is that we were fragmented. Most of our workday is spent alone doing a job, isolated from someone else. In that sense, we lost a great deal of the glue that kept us together.
Your book is primarily about blue-collar work. Did you ever in your working career wish that you had a white-collar job and that you didn't have to lift things every day, that your body wasn't straining every day when you went to work?
I suppose that more than wishing for a white-collar job, that I was wishing for another job, blue-collar job that was easier. I, from the day I quit Cal and returned to fruit tramping, I had no regrets, and I still haven't. I never had any regrets about going, re-choosing blue-collar, hard physical work. And that may sound eccentric, but an awful lot of people doing, a lot of longshoremen I know, would have it no other way, even though they might not admit it. When it gets down to the nitty-gritty, they're working. If they're working people, they're doing what they want to do. If they're making a good money, if you're scrounging, if you're really hustling and you're not making a living, that's when it's mean. But if you have a good job and you're blue-collar, hey, what more do you want?
Reg Theriault is the author of How to Tell When You're Tired, A Brief Examination of Work. This is Fresh Air.